Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name. Enjoyed being here this morning, all the aspects of the worship service, and felt this discussion was good and blessed by it. Am I really saved? How can I know without a doubt? Is it joining church, becoming a church member? Is it getting baptized? Is it wearing plain clothes? Is it attending church? Many of us have had a period of struggle about the assurance of our salvation. In our life, I remember that myself. The title of the sermon is simply Justified by Faith. Runs close to what we have been discussing about conversion. And I think there's some things we need to understand about our justification, being justified by faith, that we really need to understand, especially as we as plain people, as Mennonites, we have requirements to join the church, and sometimes we get mixed up about what that might mean. And is it we're really wearing plain clothes? And is it we require baptism to have believers' baptism to join church, to be a member of the church? Is it really that? And I would like to say that the questions I asked a minute ago are all part of a Christian life, and it is very important that we understand this rightly. I would like you to turn with me to Romans 5, and we'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, that means that word there takes us back to what was said before in Romans 4, and we intend to go there eventually to this morning. Therefore, back to Romans 4, end of 3, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This justification, or being justified, gives us peace with God. And I ask you this morning, do you have peace with your Creator and your God this morning? Or is there a fear that you might have about whether you do have peace with God? And then in verse 2 it says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There's a lot could be said. There's many sermons there. But today, if we have been justified, we are standing in the grace of God. And therefore, an Abba Father relationship where we can cry out to God when we are in need is ours. And he hears and he answers our prayers according to his will. And then we have the last phrase there in verse 2, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Brethren and sisters, this morning, are you rejoicing? Do you have cause to rejoice in the hope that, in the hope of the glory of God, that Jesus is coming soon? That should be the hallmark of all Christianity. We look up in the sky and we say, Lord, come. You are coming soon. I want to be ready. I am looking forward to that. I have a hope of the glory of God, or else when we are taken from this earth by dying. So this morning, this is a foundational doctrinal subject, and I want to spend a lot of my time here in Romans 4 especially, and I would like to preach this message and so that we can examine our lives and see whether we can do those things. We can claim hope in the glory of God, and we can expect to have faith and wherein we stand, and that, well, God will hear us. Well, the first point of the message is, what is justification by faith? What is justification by faith? I think we, in a sense, we understand this, but really, what is justification by faith? Justification is this: that we are regarded as innocent, we are perfectly righteous, and that we are acquitted from guilt. That we are regarded as innocent, and that we are perfectly righteous, and that we are acquitted from guilt. Now, that's an amazing thing. That God would take us. Job said, how can man be just with God when he sees God up here in his holiness and man down here? How in the world can we be just with him? Well, it's this thing of faith. To regard as innocent, to be perfectly righteous, to be acquitted from guilt. Now, I ask you again, do you know that you are acquitted from guilt, the guilt of sin? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes you and me and everyone sitting here, that we have come short of the glory of God. Justification is true conversion. We are made right with God. God moves the... Okay, I use an illustration here that I'm not sure is even accurate, but to me it says... that God moves the needle of his mind, and he looks at Joe Weaver when he looks up at me in faith, and he says, I move him from lost to saved, from a child of Satan to a child of God, and so forth. But so let's remember that. We, through faith, can do this. We can become perfectly righteous. We can be acquitted from our guilt. The really amazing thing, though, and I would like you to turn with me, or to just look down the page a little bit, to verse 18 of Romans 5. And it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men to justification. Jesus was that one who justifies us, who made possible our justification. But it says there a very interesting phrase, the last couple words of that verse. The free gift came upon all men unto justification by life. Upon all men unto justification, that we can have life, really, is what it means. I think the New International Version says that we can have life. And dear ones, tonight, this morning, we want a church full of people who are not only justified, we want them to be justified, but we want a church full of people who have life, who have the life of the Holy Spirit within them. And it is through justification that we receive the life of the Holy Spirit. And it dwells within us, in our hearts. The life of the Holy Spirit is ours, and that we can live. And it is so important that we have understand this life that comes through the grace and the giving of the Holy Spirit. So with justification comes life, Holy Spirit life, grace, that we can live our Christian lives. And I think it is so important that we understand that there's an organic part to this justification. There's a biological part that we can have a life of in Christ. And we become a living specimen of Jesus Christ. You and me and Keith Gingrich and Maynard Faub and all those have become a living specimen of life. We said this morning in our Sunday school lesson, in our memory verse, that we are a new creation, and a new creation is life. So let's remember there's life from justification. It starts us on a life of following Him, a life of obedience to Him. So justification is an amazing thing, and we don't want to get mixed up about that. Now, I want to talk about the other couple important words that we have in our text is faith. You know, what is faith? Well, I wrote down simply that the conviction that God is who the Scriptures declare He is. That God is who the Scriptures declare He is. We have a book here, and it talks about God all over the place, throughout the book. And every word of this scripture is true. And it tells us about God and what He has done. He has redeemed us through Jesus Christ and so forth. It is an amazing thing of justification by faith. That we believe through faith that Jesus is the means of our justification. That he is the epitome of the Bible. And we see that here in Romans 5 and so forth. And then we have access, admission to God's grace, access through grace. You know, we have an access road where we get on Route 11. We have an access ramp. And so we have access by faith to grace. And grace is the benefit that God gives us. And it's a whole bunch of things that he gives us. One of them is the Abba Father relationship that we can have with him when we are in trouble and we cry out to him. The Holy Spirit looks down on us and he hears us and he utters words according to Romans 8 that we cannot even utter. So today we're excited about this justification by faith, being justified by faith. Now, the second point, I would like to look at some false concepts of justification. The false concepts of justification. And I heard some of them just recently, and I thought I would bring them out. A false concept of justification is the performance of a ritual to be justified. The performance of a ritual to be justified. And they could be many. Now, a baptism, that is an initiation into church membership without repentance and renewal of life, is a false hope of justification. A baptism that is initiation into church membership without repentance and renewal of life is a false hope. You know, a lot of people, especially in the old order and old order groups, they think if they just get to church membership, if they just get on to the rule of a church, that they're saved. Well, there's a lot can be said for church membership, and I'm not opposed to church membership. In fact, I'm adamantly for church membership. But let's remember that if you think that somehow you got on the church roll, church membership roll, and you have not repented, you have not changed your life, and God has not done justification to you, that is a false hope. Others could be infant baptism and others. You know, there's many of them. Performance of a ritual does not save you. Number two, and there could be many false concepts of justification. Number two is that a works salvation will justify you. We believe in doing good things, we do, but we do not believe that as a means of our justification, our salvation, we do not believe that works is satisfactory or sufficient. Amish, Mennonites, Catholics, it can be our tendency. Wherever a practice is required for church membership to do these works, and it'll be sufficient for salvation. Now, as you can already see, these things are converging on one another, but I want to be clear this morning that a work salvation, the means, the work that you do is not sufficient. Number three, a do-good salvation. The man on the street thinks, and you and I've talked to many of these type of people, well, I'm good. I go to church. I do good things, and I'm not bad. I don't kill people, and I don't run around with my neighbor's wife and so forth. A do-good salvation. The man on the street hopes that he can do enough good works, that his good outweighs the bad. And we hear that all the time, that I just keep trying to do good, and I just hope that works. And well, today I'm telling you that there's more than that, more than good works that we must do. The other night at the prison at Elkton, the chaplain got up at the close of the service, and he said something like this, that we have 18 different faiths here. 18 different faiths. And we reach out to all of them. And something triggered in my mind. It might bless him for reaching out to 18 different faiths. But it almost sounded like we all, you know, there's 18 different ways to get to the same place. There's 18 different ways to get to the same place, to get to heaven, to get to the hope of the glory. And, that is wrong. That is wrong. There's only one way. There is only one way, and that's salvation, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. He must be the object of our faith. It can't be Hindu. It can't be Muslim. It can't be many other faiths. It just can't be, because the Bible is clear that it is the object of our faith must be in Jesus Christ. And, I have watched with some interest the introduction of the Hindu religion into high places in this country that's happening right now. Yusha Vance is a Hindu. The president's, vice president's wife is a Hindu. She's a good person, I believe. She's morally upright. And there's a man called Vivek Ramaswamy that is running for president, very intelligent man that ran for president. Now he's running for the Ohio governorship. And he is arguing that the Hindu religion that he believes in from India is as good as a Christian religion because it does the same thing. It helps people be good. Well, I ask you the question, are people that are good people that are saved? Are people that are good people that are saved? And we want to answer that eventually. People that are good are people that are saved. We already did answer. It's Jesus Christ. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. He is what saves us. And number four, under the false concepts of justification, is the believe-only salvation. Mental assent to Christ's work is enough. Pray the sinner's prayer. You know, you can go up to Hilltop Lawn and Garden and you can get a tract there that says, believe in Jesus. And if you pray this prayer that's written on the bottom of that, sign your name that you did this, you are saved, and that you will be saved, and that there's nothing can keep you from going to glory. Do we actually believe that? Believe only salvation. Believe as they think it is. Well, let's To be justified by faith, we must come to the realization that we are sinners without hope, and that we must repent and believe in Jesus and be surrendered to his will for our life. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Acts 4, and Peter preaching in a sermon there, he said this, talking about Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That eliminates every other means of salvation, is that we must be justified by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, I wasn't sure where to add this in, but I think I'm going to add it in right here. I would like to look at some elements of saving faith. Let's go to, turn with me to Hebrews 11. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. And we're going to read about Noah and Abraham here for just a little bit. By faith, Noah. Now we're talking about just saving faith. By faith, Noah. He had faith. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Here we go. Noah was warned of God. He heard the word of God. This morning, he heard this. He was warned of God. He didn't have the Bible, but God was speaking to him. So this morning, it is an imperative to hear the scriptures. Being warned of God, moved with fear, he became convicted of this. He became convicted of this faith that he had. And he was moved with fear. There was coming God was going to bring a flood on the earth. And he was moved with fear. So he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. There's three elements of faith there. One is hearing the word of God. Other is being moved in your heart. Being convicted, moved with fear. And the third one is doing things, preparing an ark. This morning, that is the three essential elements of saving faith, is that we hear the word of God and believe what it says. We're moved with fear. And then we go out and are obedient to what God wants us to do. That is all part of saving faith. The next one is Abraham there. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into the place that he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham had this kind of faith. He said God told him to go out. He didn't know where he was going. How many of us would do that? Get in the car, go out, because God told us to go out. And he went out, obeyed, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham's faith was never just an intellectual exercise. It always involved doing things. It involved obedience. Abraham was told to walk before me and be thou perfect. He was told to offer up Isaac. And he took Isaac up into the mountain and he held the knife up. And then we know what happened there was God said, no, don't do that. But Abraham was obedient and he offered up Isaac in essence. Today, those are elements of saving faith that we must have. We must keep in mind. Now let's go to Romans 4. Back to Romans 4. And this whole chapter is about Abraham's faith. And I think we would do well to just read this Romans 4. And I believe I'm going to ask you to help me to read this chapter. We need to understand this to understand justification by faith. The word therefore in our text in chapter 5, verse 1, refers back to this chapter. I'm going to read verse 1 and then you all read verse 2 and 3 and we'll follow along like that. I'll read the uneven number, you read the even number. So let's stand and let's read Romans 4. Verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Cometh this blessedness then upon the uncircumcision, upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, whom quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
And being fully persuaded that he had promised, that what he had promised, he were able also to perform. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Who was delivered for our offenses and was justified again and was raised again for our justification. You may be seated. Romans 4 is understood as many times it is called the imputation chapter. And the word imputation is there. And it means that that faith, now get this, this is probably the most important statement I'll make this morning, that faith is imputed to us, to Abraham and to us for righteousness. Now the same word is in verse 4, the word reckoned is the same Greek word as imputed. And of course it's used the same, the imputed means that it is accredited or given to you as your justification. Now, when we see those words there, logismi, which is the Greek word, that it's the amazing thing is, dear ones, the remarkable thing about this study is that As God reckoned us, or he imputed to us, or he has given us justification. And it says Abraham, through faith, was imputed righteousness. He was given righteousness, and he was saved. That is so important that we understand this correctly, that all the false concepts of salvation out there, that we understand this one thing, that faith is the means of our justification. Faith in Jesus Christ is the means of our justification. Now let's start going through Romans 4, and I don't want this to take long. I think I've concluded right now that I'll probably have to make this another sermon. But Romans 4 and verse 2 says that if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You know, it says here that if Abraham, he did a lot of good works. He had a lot of things to glory about, but not before God. If he were justified by works, if Abraham were justified by works, he had a lot going for him. Everywhere Abraham went, he built altars and he worshiped God and he was obedient and so forth. But one night, Abraham came to the door of his tent. I think it's in Genesis 17. And he looked out into the sky and he looked to the sky and God said, by faith, you are justified. And so today, the simple truth is, young Christians, old Christians, Christians that have known this for a long time, it is through that simple act of faith that we are justified. And let's remember that if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory. He had a lot going for him. He was a good man, but not before God. He must believe in God. Verse number 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There's that word, logismi again. It was counted unto him for righteousness. That. So today, Abraham was justified by believing in what God said. And then in verse 4, it has these words, "Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You know, Abraham believed, if he would have believed that works were satisfactory, he would have been going farther into the hole. He would have had more debt and more things wrong, more to repent from, if he believed in that, in works. Offering works to attain justification or salvation increases our debt toward God. Let's number 4 is found in verse 9 is where we want to go to. Saving faith is not by performing ritual. It was not by forming the very act, the ritual of circumcision, for that Abraham did. He performed the ritual of circumcision. And Abraham, when he went to the tent door, and he looked up into the sky and said, "You shall be blessed." And that he was justified by faith. Actually, when Abraham came to that tent door and he looked up into the sky and he had that faith, was 14 years before he received the rite of circumcision. And so there was quite a time in there when he was just by faith, he received salvation or justification. Verse 11 says, "And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be farther of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also." Now, as I understand this seal that Abraham received, this seal of circumcision, it was a seal or a sign of the righteousness of the faith, of the righteousness of faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Abraham was willing to have a sign of the outward seal, you might say. The seal was a sign of ownership. In verse 11, that he was God's man and that he was going to be obedient, and so he was willing to have this seal of circumcision that is was his. Today, true faith always, I might say, has an outward manifestation if you live long enough. Now, a lot of people ask about, you know, they've been asked many times, what about the thief on the cross? He didn't have anything but his faith in Jesus Christ, and he was justified. Jesus told him that you're going to be in paradise with me today. Well, there was a thing that went on in his heart that he believed in Jesus. And he didn't have a lot of time to repent and a lot of times go around in the streets and make things right of all the people he'd killed and robbed from. He was saved. So the woman taken in adultery was another one that, you know, we cannot see actual acts of righteousness or outside works, but she was taken in adultery, and somehow Jesus looked at her heart and he said, you know, go and sin no more. And she was made right with Jesus. The doctrine of justification by faith lies central to our belief. We cannot miss it. It cannot be in the clothes that we wear. It cannot be in what we believe, in the rituals we perform. But it's Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And as we believe on him through faith, we are justified by faith. And I believe I'm just going to stop right there and maybe conclude this sermon. I realize that it's lopsided at this point, but I will say that as we go into Romans 5 and so forth, that it'll become more balanced. But nevertheless, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, and it is through no other means, throughout no other way.